today across the microphone from me, I have an individual that I've heard much about in many different areas, and I'm really pleased that I have the chance to spend time with her. This is Carrie McCusker, who is an endurance coach based in Cape Elizabeth. She's been an athlete her entire life. Starting with youth soccer, Carrie spent time on just about every playing field surface. She competed at national events as a Nordic skier during high school in Alaska and then at Middlebury in Vermont. After earning a master's degree in education, she combined her love of teaching with her passion for athletics and became a full-time professional coach. She lives in Cape Elizabeth with her two children and her husband, Tom. So nice to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I must tell you that your name has come up in multiple times. We had Linda Banks on the show, and she was mentioning that you coach her, and I know kids that you've coached in Ultimate Frisbee, so I was like, who is this Carrie McCusker person? We have to bring her in. She's so amazing that everybody loves her. And so here you are.
Thank you.
And I'm very glad that you're doing what you do, because you must be doing a good enough job that people are really inspired.
That's good to hear.
And now that we've given you that, we're going to humble you a little bit and just go back to your beginnings. So you've been playing since you were a kid.
I have, yes. I know I one of my earliest memories was playing soccer, and I played soccer my whole youth, and I remember being on the playing field. This is true that I remember this, with the ball rolling down the field at the end of the game. I hadn't touched it the whole game, and I kicked it. And I just remember this feeling literally of like being part of that team, and of course that was the only thing I had done. I was just this tiny little girl, and at that time too there were probably one or two girls and a lot of boys. So anyway, I've been hooked on sports ever since.
And where did the ball go after that?
I think the game was literally over.
But just the fact that
I think
you touched
it was rolling and I got like one touch and then the game ended. But to me, I remember that moment of kicking it. So yeah.
Well, that's pretty great that is your memory. That like, oh, I touched it. There's the ball. As opposed to, well, I remember when we won this game or we won that game.
Right. I think I was pretty small, and I knew you run around the field and you kick the ball. But, yeah, it stuck with me, so that's something.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Hampshire until 8th grade, and then I was in Alaska.
So tell me about that, because when I was growing up, I'm around your age, and when I was growing up in Maine, there wasn't a lot of girls' soccer.
Yeah, so that is interesting, and I only reflected on that later in life. Like, what was it that I was exposed all the way through? And I do have to give some credit, I think, to my parents and my dad, who often was the coach. So he, I got involved, obviously, really young, And I remember playing basketball briefly, probably third grade, and again, it was like two girls and all boys. But I don't remember ever like thinking about that aspect of it. It just was what it was. So there were soccer camps and teams and everything. So, yeah.
Well, see, that's like the opposite of my experience. When I was young, I think I was in third grade, and I have this vivid memory of being one of like two girls in the entire gymnasium at the Yarmouth Elementary School playing basketball. And I was so overwhelmed by all these balls flying at me and the fact that I was the only one of two girls. I just left and I never came back.
Yeah.
But maybe if my dad had been there, you know, saying like, hey, this is normal, it's fine. Just pick up a basketball, it's no big deal.
Right.
Maybe it would have been a completely different experience.
Right. That's possible. Yeah. I know. It is interesting how those things, when you're young, you're not thinking about what influences are causing you to take a certain path. So
how did your family end up in Alaska?
So my dad was an environmental engineer consultant and had an opportunity to open a branch of the office he was working for in Anchorage, Alaska, and he took it. And I could say that I was not very happy.
Yeah, that's tough as an eighth grader.
It was awful. Yes, I was going into eighth grade. It was horrible. Now I can look back and say that it was an experience that changed who I am for the better. At the time, yeah, eighth grade, it was horrible.
No, I have a child who's going into high school, and if we had talked about moving her during middle school or even now, she would not have felt very positive about that.
No.
So how did that become an experience that changed you?
So first it was literal culture shock. I mean, I moved from a tiny town in New Hampshire to Anchorage, Alaska, which is actually a city. And even though it is Alaska, there are 7 high schools in this city, you know, so it's big. It's a school with city issues. So that was a bit of a shock. And then, I mean, it really took me like 1 year to sort of find friends and find my way around, and then it was completely fine. So, but I think, you know, when you're different in some way, you adapt. I don't know, you're sort of an outsider for a little while, so I think that probably changed me a little bit in how, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the same friends. I started all over, so I wouldn't say that I reinvented myself, but it caused me to change as a person. And then geographically, I mean, I was in Alaska then, so that's where I started skiing. And the other thing about high school in Alaska, they're very well funded because of the oil money. So I took Japanese and German, and I mean, they had tons of courses. The sports are well funded. The facilities are beautiful. So it's a really great place to be in that regard.
That's actually fascinating. I had never thought about that at all.
Right.
Because I know that over here, and you've been a Nordic coach, it's Nordic skiing is very well loved here in Maine. And
right.
We now have the Maine Winter Sports Center, so it's gotten a lot more attention than it ever did.
Right.
But it's not, I wouldn't consider it overly well funded.
No. I mean, it just lost funding, right? Didn't they have to find new funding?
They did, actually. Yeah.
So no, definitely not. And I mean, look what's happening in schools. What's getting cut or attempted to be cut are sports and extras, right? Art, you know. So, no, that never happened there. I mean, we used to go, for ski practice, we would literally go out of the building and ski. And then there were lighted trails because it was dark. The sun set at, you know, 2. So we would go ski right out the door. So it was amazing.
So Nordic skiing is a very, is an interesting sport because we all think of it as a highly individual sport, which it is.
Right.
But there's also a very strong sense of team.
Definitely.
You know, it's dark, it's cold, you finish, it's late.
Definitely.
If it's like an afternoon practice, because I've done this, I know, I've been there.
You've been there,
yeah,
yes.
You know, you get on the ski bus. It sounds like Right. You didn't have to get on a ski bus, but, you know.
But we did to go to races and things, so
okay.
I appreciate the bus, yeah.
Yeah, so, and you actually have to find some camaraderie with these other people
right.
who have just basically stripped down to their, you know, their skivvies to go out and ski on the course.
Completely, right. I mean, I think early on when I started skiing there, I liked riding them. I mean, I liked the team. I don't think I did it because, I mean, I liked to ski, but it was really about being with my peers and being on the team because it was a great team. And then I think eventually as you get into the sport, you start to be more passionate about the sport itself. But yeah, high school sports, like it's a lot about being on the team and being with your friends.
Well, did that help you as you were coming in as an eighth grader? Did that help you to have this love of sports, to have been a soccer player?
Without a doubt. I got on the soccer team. I actually was a gymnast when I moved there. I got on the they had a gymnastics team. I got on that team. I ran, and yes. So yes, I was a 3-season athlete. And definitely, you find your friends, right? I mean, I think that's a big part of sports for youth. Being part of a team, and you've had that experience too, like it's a good thing.
I do love that part of things. I think that when all of my kids, my 2 that are now in college and the 1 that's starting high school, it is very important who their teammates are.
Right.
You know, they've made fast friends with people that they've been with over the years. They actually, I know that there are people who have switched from one sport to another because their friend went to
right.
a different sport.
Right.
And that's completely outside of the control of parents.
Right.
Which is interesting because youth sports has very much become about parenting in some ways.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Yes.
So you have a couple of kids. How old are your kids?
20 and 16.
So what's your experience with youth sports been?
Both of my kids ended up playing Ultimate, so they're both playing high level Ultimate now, and which is a sport that has grown a lot. But my daughter played soccer all the way through, and lacrosse, and my son, he swam. So competitively, they both swam. But I think they dabbled a little more in different sports and didn't... I feel like there was a lot of pressure. I mean, they, when you're cutting kids from a soccer team at age 11, I think it's ridiculous, personally. So I, you know, and I also remember, like, I let my kids... I mean, I let them choose somewhat what they wanted to do. And I think that they need to have some free time. So I guess I'm not a big advocate of the year-round, you know, soccer going through the winter. Unless they're really, really passionate about it and that's all they want to do. I mean, but I feel like there is a parental push to get your kids into these things. And I don't know, time goes by really fast. And then you look back at it and think, okay, you know, where are we now? Like, was that a really good thing through your entire childhood, or wasn't it? You know, did we have time to do other things? Or so, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I also see in the sports science that it's not a good thing to specialize when you're really young. And how many of those kids are going to go on and be Olympic soccer players or, you know, not very many. So you have to be doing it for the love and the passion of it. And again, it goes back to, like we both say, you know, we enjoyed being on a team. And what did that really give us? Like, what did you take away from that? And that's what I want my kids to walk away with. Like, and you want them to be healthy and fit and, you know, to care about living well. But, you know, you don't care. Do you really care if they won or, you know, in the end? So I guess I look back at it and I think parents should, I don't know, back off a little and then let the kids, you know, get them all involved, I guess, is what I'm seeing in Ultimate Frisbee is happening. Is like there are no cuts. You can play. You can come out and play if you've never thrown. And you will be welcomed onto the field. I was coaching the Cape Elizabeth girls this year, and the first game of the season, one of the girls came out and said, "Wait, what are the rules?" And I said, "Okay, here's the basics. You score down there. You know, the disc will turn over." You know, I gave her like the 30-second because she wanted to go in, and she said, "All right." I go, "They'll help you. You'll figure it out." And she did. You know, and she went on now and played in the youth club championships in Minnesota that just happened last weekend. And that doesn't mean she's a super high level player now, but like she got drawn in, and again, and you watch that sport. And it's vigorous and demanding, and you know, and yet they love it. And this, it's a self-reft game too. So it is an interesting game when you compare it to the way we've sort of manipulated soccer and hockey. And
so, tell me what you mean about the manipulation of sports.
So I guess if you juxtapose ultimate and say take soccer for example. You know, ultimate, we're accepting everyone. Soccer, we're cutting people. We're making A and B teams. You know, that's parent-driven. Those choices are parent-driven. There's refs on the field. I feel like the kids want to play. They just want to get out there and play. And they love it. And all of the good things that come out of playing a sport. But I guess I feel like we're sort of stomping on that by controlling the game so much.
Well, I do. It is interesting, this whole idea of self-reffing, because there is something that goes on when it's kind of like backlot baseball, you know, and the kids have to decide, you know, was that an out? Was it foul? You know, what was
right.
that? As opposed to some other bigger authority coming in and saying that right. was this and this is this.
Right.
So it is a very interesting contrast.
Right. And I mean, Ultimate Frisbee is based on spirit of the game, which actually is a defined concept. And it doesn't just mean being like, yay, we're happy. It means honoring the other players on the field. So if I call a foul and you disagree with me, you can state that you contest the foul and it will go back, you know? It does, occasionally it becomes a little more sparring, but in general, the game itself relies on that. And it changes so much about the way players treat each other. And I've seen a little bit in mainstream, like in soccer, where you play like a kind of nasty team, say, And like, I'm like, where does that come from? Like, when you know that that team is mean, like in 12-year-old, 11-year-old sports, like, how does that happen? Like, is that trickling down? Is that an attitude? So you don't see that in Ultimate because it's the whole concept of the game.
So what you're describing sounds like musicians jamming, where you bring together a group of musicians and they jam on the field. Your
right.
Ultimate Frisbee players are playing as a musical team.
Right. And I like that analogy because those musicians coming in have amazing strengths that you get to highlight in their performance, and it's the same with Ultimate. So, I mean, you see amazing athletes out there on the field, and you highlight each other's strengths, definitely.
A member of our household this year, he was a senior, and he had played lacrosse all the way up through, and went to Cape Elizabeth, graduated, and he loved Ultimate. And he ended up just walk on last year of my high school career, I'm going to play Ultimate Frisbee. And he felt like such a part of it. And for him, it was always about the team. It was always about his friends. His dad would tell me, you know, if he would get tired, he'd just say to the coach, I want to come out. You know, when it right. wasn't fun, he didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And so when he started Ultimate Frisbee, it was so fun for him. He didn't want to miss games. He was willing to play game after game after
That's
game.
So great. Right.
And isn't that what we really want?
Is yes.
Kids
that's
to...
exactly what we want.
Yeah.
And look how many kids are playing. I mean, the team and Cape Elizabeth anyway. I mean, what did we have? We were able to have like four teams. I mean, it's a tiny town. So there are a lot of kids going out for it. And you do have to say, why? Like, what is it? And it's still very athletic. So anyone who hasn't seen the game should watch. I mean, it's an extremely athletic, amazing sport to watch. So, but yes, just that little difference in the way that it's approached.
It's fascinating, too, to me, because you have been an athlete at every level. You are a coach now. I know that you coach Linda Banks, you coach triathletes, you work with people all over the world, and you're describing this very conscious decision to play almost the anti-sport, I want to call it, because it's a sport, it's a high-level sport, but it's so opposite of what
right.
most high-level athletes go into.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, I think that when you are... A lot of high-level athletes are passionate about their sport. And I guess that's all I'm saying with youth sport, that you want that passion, that fun. I mean, I may be very hardcore when I go train or race in a triathlon, but I love it. I mean, I love it. Like, it. And I think people I work with, I mean, a lot of them are busy people with families or, and maybe they were high-level athletes and now they have full-time careers or they never were. But they incorporate that into their lives and they love it. And it's on their own terms, really. And that's what I feel like about Ultimate. Like, we so much with youth, we're trying to tell them, this is what you should do. This is how you do it, you know? But why are they not? I mean, they're capable of making decisions. And so I guess it's sort of the same thing. It's just being passionate and enjoying what you're doing.
And I know your husband, Tom, he's a surgeon, so he actually did a very mainstream educational thing.
Yes.
He's doing a very mainstream, high-energy job,
right.
And yet you met on the Ultimate Frisbee field.
We did.
So here's another one that, you know, he could have gone in a direction,
right.
But he went in the same direction you went, and you kind of met up on the field.
Completely, yes, right. I mean, Ultimate is very popular in colleges and universities, and I mean, you know, in Portland now there were, I think, 34 summer league teams this year, so it definitely is attracting a lot of people. But, I mean, I'm sure Tom could talk for a long time about his love of Ultimate. He just played out in the Grand Masters Nationals, but it's a sport. Yeah, there's just so many things in the sport that are great.
Well, here's another interview where I feel like I could just keep talking forever because there's so many things we could discuss.
I know.
But how can people find out about the work that you're doing, Carrie, and the coaching that you do?
Yeah, so I coach through a company here in this area called PBM Coaching. And we have a website. And
the website is?
It's pbmcoaching.com.
Well, I like your approach. I think with anything, it's about finding things that we feel passionate about, that we want to get up every day and do, whether it's a child or an adult, it doesn't really matter. We have to want to do something. And then fitting it into one's life, that's right. So important. So I encourage people to reach out to you, Carrie McCusker, to find out about the coaching that you're doing. We've been speaking with Carrie McCusker, who is an endurance coach based in Cape Elizabeth. I really appreciate your coming in and talking with us today.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.